This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on your official home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hour two rolling on. Sportsnet Today. You're on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Logan Gordon along with you from the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios here in Calgary, Alberta. On a Flames game day. Flames and the LA Kings. Of course, we all remember the last time these two teams met, an 8-2 final for LA back on March 20th. This is the final regular season meeting between the Flames and the Kings this season. Jonas Korpisalo acquired the trade deadline, around the trade deadline, along with Vladislav Gavrikov. We'll get the start in goal for LA. Flames rolling with the same lineup that got them a 5-3 victory against San Jose on Saturday afternoon. That means no Chris Tanev and no NHL debut for one Matthew Coronato tonight. 6 o'clock Flames warm up with Pat and Peter. Lou and Derek call the Flames and the Sharks, Flames and the Kings. 7 o'clock tonight, right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Got lots of game day audio to get your way this hour, including the first general media availability with Matthew Coronato following his first practice as a member of the Calgary Flames. We'll hear from head coach Daryl Sutter, Mackenzie Weegar, and check in with Kings head coach Todd McClellan all before the hour is out. But wanted to take some time, take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard for tonight. It's a busy night across the NHL. There's a couple of clinching scenarios for the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight as well. And as I mentioned yesterday on Monday's show, we'll start doing these more regularly, if not on the daily, to give you the scenarios as we get closer and closer to the Stanley Cup playoffs beginning in just a few weeks' time. More nights than not, we're going to have clinching scenarios to go through, and we'll give you those coming up in just moments. The first one isn't about clinching a playoff spot, however. The Boston Bruins can, however, clinch the President's Trophy with a win tonight. That would be first place in the NHL and, of course, first seed in the Eastern Conference. If they can defeat the Nashville Predators in any fashion, and the Carolina Hurricanes lose to Tampa Bay in regulation, that Predators game against the Bruins is on Sportsnet 1, Sportsnet East, and Ontario at 5 o'clock tonight. So if the Bruins can pick up 2 points against the Predators and the Hurricanes lose to the Tampa Bay Lightning, the Boston Bruins will be your President's Trophy winners. And it's an interesting accomplishment because it hasn't related to the kind of success that you would hope that a President's Trophy team would have in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Outstanding producers Cam and Taylor along with us this afternoon. We'll bring you guys into this conversation as well. Taylor, the last time a team won the Stanley Cup and won the President's Trophy was the 2012-2013 Chicago Blackhawks. So it's almost been a full decade in between President's Trophies for the team that's won the trophy to win the goal, right? To have the main goal of winning the Stanley Cup. Do you think it's a bad thing now to win the President's Trophy, or is it still an okay thing to have on your resume?
I mean, it's a great accomplishment, but with the odds stacked against you and, you know, the curse of first, I wouldn't be too excited about it.
The Bruins have won the President's Trophy twice since that Blackhawks team won the Stanley Cup. In fact, they won it the next year. They would lose to the Montreal Canadiens in round two in 2013-14. They would win the President's Trophy in 2019-20 and have another second round loss against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So, of course, the biggest flop in all of this belongs to Tampa in 2018-19 when they won the President's Trophy and were taken out by the Columbus Blue Jackets in round one. But as of right now, it certainly doesn't guarantee any level of success. So since the Blackhawks won in 2012-2013, and they won the Stanley Cup and then the President's Trophy, here's how it's gone. Bruins win the President's Trophy. They lose in the second round to Montreal. Rangers win it in 14-15, lose in the conference finals to Tampa Bay. Washington wins the President's Trophy back-to-back years, only to lose to Pittsburgh in the second round in back-to-back years. Remember those, Taylor? Remember those the years of conversation of Ovechkin never going to be able to get past Crosby in the playoffs? That's where that came from.
Yeah, that's not good.
But they did. They eventually got over it and won the Stanley Cup, but that's tough winning the President. You're the best team in the league twice in a row, and you still can't get past your arch nemesis in Pittsburgh. So then the Predators. Yeah, the Predators won the President's Trophy. Another second-round loss. They lost to Winnipeg. I mentioned when the Lightning won it with 128 points. It was a historic season for them, only to lose to Columbus in the first round. Then the Bruins again, second-round loss to Tampa Bay. Colorado 2 years ago, second-round loss to Vegas. Florida, the most recent, second-round loss to Tampa Bay.
So it's either don't... Well, I guess the thing is don't get the President's Trophy or play Tampa Bay.
Avoid Tampa Bay is a good one.
Avoid Tampa Bay and avoid getting the President's Trophy, and then you're set. You're good.
Now, there was a time before that Blackhawks win that it was a pretty good accomplishment, and plenty of teams have won the President's Trophy and the Stanley Cup, or at least gone on significant runs. The Canucks won a couple years in a row before that Blackhawks team. One of those was their trip to the Stanley Cup Finals and where they would lose to the Boston Bruins. Detroit in 07-08 is another winner of the Stanley Cup and the President's Trophy. Plenty of years it's happened and led to success, including the Calgary Flames team of 88-89. They were President's Trophy winners in back-to-back years. They lost their division finals against Edmonton in 87-88, would then have a better season the next year and go on to win the only Stanley Cup in franchise history. So I'm not saying it can't happen. Boston's as strong a team as we've seen this year, but if you read into it the last couple of years, especially the way the playoff format's gone, it doesn't always give you your best chance at a Stanley Cup. Can the Bruins buck that trend? We'll see. But as of right now, they're primed to win the President's Trophy tonight if they can beat the Predators in any fashion and the Hurricanes lose to the Tampa Bay Lightning in regulation. The Vegas Golden Knights can clinch a playoff berth tonight if they defeat the Edmonton Oilers in regulation. 8 o'clock start to that one on Sportsnet 1. There's a couple of ors in this as well, so Vegas essentially going to find their way in tonight, but you just need to know a couple things need to happen. If they defeat the Oilers in overtime in a shootout, or the Jets lose to San Jose in any fashion, and any result in Bruins Predators other than a Predators win. I'm not going to go. There's literally 5 clinching scenarios for Vegas tonight. I'm not going to go through them all. There's just no point. You will fall asleep if I go through all 5 of the clinching scenarios. We're like not going to do that.
Going to say it in a very soft voice as like a bedtime story.
No, we're not going to do that. We're not. If the Vegas Golden Knights can successfully pick up 2 points, Nashville loses in regulation. No, we're not doing it. We're going to get into some of those. I'll give you the basics. We're not diving full into those. As far as the teams around the Calgary Flames, mentioned that Bruins-Predators game from the Bruins' perspective of perhaps winning the President's Trophy. Obviously, the Flames are going to be interested to see what happens in that game as far as the Predators result as well. And the Winnipeg Jets, they have the late game tonight. They have an 8:30 puck drop in San Jose against the 19-39-15 Sharks. So you'll have a better idea of scoreboard watching for the Calgary Flames. You have to wait till the late one tonight to get your final look at it with both Nashville and Winnipeg in action. If we look at the playoff scenarios right now, the Calgary Flames currently 1 point up on the Predators. Nashville with two games in hand heading into tonight's action. Flames 4 points back of Winnipeg for the final wild card spot in the West. Both of those teams with equal games played. Out East, Islanders and Penguins holding on to the final wild card spots. Panthers with a tough one. They've lost four in a row. They are now 3 points back of the Pittsburgh Penguins for that final wild card spot. Pittsburgh holds a game in hand. So lots to get to along the NHL scoreboard tonight. Of course, keep it locked during the Flames game tonight. If you're listening, Pat will have your out-of-town scoreboard throughout the game and on the post-game show as well to keep you up to date with where the Flames are in the standings following tonight's action. Let's head back to the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, get you some game day audio from the Calgary Flames. They're heading into tonight's game in desperate need of points and looking for some revenge against a good Kings team that handed them their lunch last Monday in LA. It's a team Daryl Sutter knows very well, but of course the hype around the team right now, maybe more so even the game tonight, is about Matthew Coronato, who made his Flames debut in practice colors today for the first time in his pro career. Daryl asked about that and more when he addressed the media at the Saddle Dome on a game day.
Daryl, first opportunity to get Matt in the building and get him acclimated. What was the meeting like this morning in our first game for him?
Well, just welcome here. He hasn't been on the ice since whenever his last game was, Friday. So a little bit of altitude adjustment, I'd say, the next few days.
You sense the excitement, though, from a young kid?
Oh, yeah. Nervous, excited. That's good.
Daryl, do you still remember what it was like for you to walk into an NHL room for the first time?
No. I just remember Phil Esposito telling me he let me win the faceoff, and then I never won another one after that.
What about the task at hand here for your group here? You guys have been in this position before, being 4 points open.
Yeah. Well, we know our, you know what, you just got to know your opponent and go from there. I think we've had three against the Kings, three high-scoring games this year, if you look at it. So we know what we're up against.
How have you felt your blue line has fared without Chris the last week?
I think it's a question you asked the other four times he was out this year, and the answer was the same. It's a challenge. I mean, he's been on either IR or injured for extended lengths of time. Really, it's his fifth time, all of training camp, and then four times. So it's pretty significant. It's not so much, you know, I said this before about him with Tanny. When he's out, it's not so, you know, everybody knows what you lose when you lose Chris Tanev, but you need other guys to take a little bump in their game. That's for sure.
There you go. Head coach Daryl Sutter at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome on a game day, taking on his former team, the LA Kings. And yes, the hype train still around young Matthew Coronato, who arrived in Calgary last night. Finally able to get on the Flames colors for the first time as part of practice. He will not play for the team tonight, and still no word yet on if or when he'll make his NHL debut this season. But as of right now, he's just soaking in the experience and the excitement around his pro career beginning with the Calgary Flames. Here is Matthew Coronato, his first general media availability following his first practice with the Flames on Tuesday.
Matt, what has the last 24, 48 hours been like for you as you go through this whirlwind and now in a room full of cameras and mics?
Yeah, it's been a little crazy. It's been really exciting. Just hard to explain the feeling being here. Really just grateful for the opportunity to come in and be with these guys and learn and do all that.
Hey, when you got picked up last night from the airport, did it sink in then, or was there a moment when you went, okay, this is happening?
I think it all started to sink in slowly. I think when I walked in here today, it really started to sink in and getting to meet the guys and talk to everyone, and it's been a really cool day.
Who were you excited to kind of talk to on the team?
I think everyone. I think, really everyone introduced themselves to me, which was awesome. I'm sitting over there in the corner next to Dylan. He's been unbelievable with making me feel comfortable. So just everyone really has been really great.
Do you look to any of these guys maybe for some advice or anything like that? Because I want you to soak it all in here. Right?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to learn as much as I can from the staff, but also from all the guys. This team's got a lot of players with a lot of experience, and I'm lucky to be able to talk to them and learn from them.
What did you make of your first practice under Daryl Sutter?
It was great. You know, I'm just trying to get comfortable. I'm just trying to work my hardest and kind of get comfortable.
Is it that balance of trying not to mess up, trying to fit in, and yet still sort of act as though everything's normal here?
I mean, maybe a little. I think for me, I'm just in the back of my mind, I'm just trying to work as hard as I can and listen to the coaches, listen to the guys, but just work my hardest.
It can take a minute to get used to the altitude here. You all right?
Yeah, I was definitely breathing a little heavy. I think, I don't know if that's why, but just trying to keep getting comfortable.
Are you like an NHLer, or are you like, hey, I'm here, I'm an NHL guy, or is that going to be well playing in the game?
I don't know. It's tough to say. Right now, it's still kind of just so much going on and just really just excited right now.
Are you used to this, like all these reporters and cameras and all that kind of?
Not so much, you know. It's very cool. It keeps getting more and more exciting. So it's been a great day so far.
Now you jump into a locker room that is in the middle of, you know, they're fighting for the playoff lives. So how do you just kind of go about your business? How do you kind of absorb this? Because this is, you know, crunch time for this group.
Yeah, I think just work my hardest, be a good teammate, do whatever I can to support and help. And obviously, like you said, it's an important time of the year, so it's great to be here and be with the guys.
And in your collegiate career, it was probably, you know, at that time, very similar in that everything mattered, every step mattered. So biggest difference between what you just experienced in that playoff format to where you are now, what's the biggest change or difference?
Well, I think it's the next level, right? It's a lot faster, a lot bigger, a lot stronger. It's tough to tell after just one short skate, but obviously there's a lot that goes into it.
Matt, did you have any moments at the airport last night where a Flames fan said, hey, aren't you Matt Coronado?
I did have one, actually. Yeah, which was kind of funny. Yeah, he was very nice. A young guy just asked me if I was, and I said, yeah, and we had a quick little conversation, so it was cool.
Obviously, it's going to take some time.
Sorry?
Any of the veterans here trying to shake you down for a dinner yet?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I think maybe I'll go get lunch with Pelts right now. That'd be great, so we'll see.
Obviously, it's going to take you time before you're ready to play, and you still got to get adjusted to being on a new team, living in a new city. Has the team given you any kind of like plan or kind of checklist that you got to go through before they feel you're ready?
I think right now for me, it's just coming in, trying to work my hardest. Help however I can, support all the guys, and see where it goes from there.
Has anyone given you any like guide on like some cool places to hang out, places to eat, or anything like that? Just anything to get used to the city?
Not yet. I mean, it's been a short little time. Like a couple guys have asked to hang out and do certain things. So, like I said, everyone's been really, really welcoming, which I'm really grateful for. And yeah, all the guys seem great.
Are you gonna have your family here at some point, or how does that work for a young player like you?
Yeah, I'm not sure at the moment. Thinking maybe, but haven't got to that yet.
You're coming from Harvard and pursuing an Ivy League education, which is obviously no joke. Just wondering, what are your plans with school?
Yeah, I'm gonna finish this semester online. I think I'll be able to do that. So. Lucky that the school has allowed me to do that.
And some of your teammates we see sign elsewhere. I don't know if you reached out to them or if they've reached out to you as this process has gone on, but I would imagine that is a pretty unique feeling too, knowing that you're all kind of taking that next step together.
Yeah, a bunch of my really good friends, for sure. We've been talking a lot, talking about it. Everyone's just really excited. There's a lot of emotion, so it's good to have guys that you know going through the same thing as well. Everyone's really excited, and we're all really happy for each other.
Have they reached out to you yet?
They have, yeah.
Can you describe how overwhelming all of this is?
No, I can't really describe it. I've been saying exciting a lot. It's the word that just keeps coming to mind. It's everything's really exciting. It's, like I said, I'm just grateful to be here right now. It's an unbelievable opportunity, so just really happy.
Has it hit you yet? Has it sunk in for you yet?
I can't really tell. I think it's starting to. Yeah, it's definitely starting to. Like, I think meeting the guys was a big thing for sure.
Did you? Were there any guys in that room?
Last question.
That you were starstruck by, or like, holy smokes, I'm talking to this human being type of thing? Or?
I think a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of really, really good players in here, so there's a lot of guys that stand out, and it's really awesome meeting the guys.
There you go, his first general media availability since becoming a member of the Calgary Flames, that is Matthew Coronato. He skated with the team on Morning Skate today. Will not make his NHL debut tonight, but as you heard there, excited young man coming to Calgary last night and getting a feel for this team, this group, ready to work hard, ready to learn as much as he possibly can during his time with the Flames. One more Flames member to hear from on a game day, it is veteran defenseman Mackenzie Weegar, a big part of that decor, having to step up without the likes of Chris Tanev, who is not in the Flames lineup once again for tonight's game against the LA Kings. Here's Mackenzie Weegar with the media from the Saddle Dome earlier today.
Let me just ask you about, I mean, we have time and time again about Chris Tanev's importance, but right now down the stretch drive, certainly goes without saying you miss him. How have you guys been able to sort of adjust with him?
Yeah, I mean, everybody sort of brings something to the table back there. You know, we obviously miss Tanev a lot, and you know, he's an important piece to, you know, not just to the back end but to the team. But you know, we kind of have to rally ourselves together and you know, pick up the slack that, you know, he brings to the table every night, and that's, you know, solid defense. And against a good team like this, we're gonna have to play really solid defense tonight.
Maybe that goes to my next question, but what lessons you learned after last game against the Kings?
We need to play a lot better. That was not nearly our best game, and you know, I think we have to be a little bit more physical on their key guys, and I think we need to skate a lot more. I don't think we were moving our feet too much last game, so I think we need to skate, make some plays with the puck, and defend and check hard.
The new guy, what did, it's just day one for him, yeah. But I'm sure you remember your first day, and just the idea of fitting in and him getting adjusted. What'd you make of your interaction with him?
Yeah, he seems like a great kid. Obviously pretty quiet. I'm sure he's kind of just looking around the room and trying to meet everybody and taking it all in, but looks like a good player, skates well, can shoot the puck well. I got to watch him a little bit out there, but you know, it's always funny watching, you know, young players get called up because you know, they're trying not to make mistakes, but they're making little mistakes that you kind of see and you just laugh. But you know, he seems like a great guy, and we're looking forward to seeing what he can do for us here.
Do you guys all pull your money together and buy him a welcome gift or anything?
No. I'm sure he'll have to put his money together and buy us a gift.
Do you say anything to make him feel more comfortable or anything like that?
No, I think you know, maybe, you know, some of the you know, backs or Dubes or, you know, Hubie, the guys that he can maybe relate to more. I'm just a, you know, an old grumpy defenseman back there. So those older guys, those forwards that probably he looks up to a little bit more, I saw him talking to them, and I'm sure they were making him feel a little relaxed and more comfortable.
How do you sort of block out the noise right now during a playoff race that lots of people here are talking about you guys? How do you block it out or get away from that stress, if at all?
Yeah, I it's kind of blocked out. It's kind of just you guys asking me about it. I just come to play, and I come to play every night and try to play my hardest and you know, compete hard every night and block out all the other noise and, you know, try to get 2 points and keep trying to, you know, grind our way into a playoff spot.
I know it means
a lot to a lot of people around town to see you guys wearing the Pride jerseys tonight. Just happy to be going out and supporting and showing people that everyone's welcome here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, everybody's on board in this room. Everybody's more than comfortable to wearing the jersey. You know, a lot of us spoke about it, and not one guy had a disagreement. So, you know, everybody's welcome in this dress room and in this arena, and, you know, we're really happy to be wearing the jersey.
Not to double back on Ryan's earlier question about your first day, but from when you were getting your feet wet in the NHL, how long did it take for you to get comfortable with your surroundings, get accustomed to everyone that was around you from when you were first introduced to the team?
Pretty long time, yeah. It took me a little while. It kind of reminded me, you know, of this year too. You know, it's a change, and, you know, changes kind of, you know, can create, you know, a little bit of, you know, outside the box, and, you know, you're not really sure what to expect. You know, you're leaving, and, you know, he's leaving Boston, you know, a school where he was comfortable with. He's coming to a new city and new guys, and it takes a little bit of time, but I think, you know, once you find that comfortability, everything comes to you really fast, and, you know, that's kind of how I felt.
There you go. That's defenseman Mackenzie Weegar, the last of the Flames to handle media duties on a game day against the LA Kings. Reminder, Flames and Kings on your airwaves a little bit later tonight. Flames coverage starts at 6 with Pat, 7 o'clock puck drop with Wills and Lubardius here on your home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll take a break, come back on the other side, finish out the hour hearing from LA Kings head coach Todd McClellan ahead of this matchup against the Calgary Flames. Plus, we'll check in with the Toronto Blue Jays, their spring training finale ahead of their season opener Thursday in St. Louis against the Cardinals. We'll get some highlights from the Jays and the Phillies next here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're listening to Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon on the home of the Flames, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, I've heard from a couple of different members of the Calgary Flames on this game day, including head coach Daryl Sutter, Matthew Coronato, Mackenzie Weegar. Lots of hype around, of course, Matthew's first practice with the Calgary Flames. Still await and will continue any news or updates as to when he might make his NHL debut. I know lots of people would love to see him in the lineup as soon as tonight, but it's a difficult process and one that we'll have to continue to watch over these next couple games. I'd be surprised, given the fact that he is burning a year on his entry-level contract, regardless of getting into a game or not, if he didn't play at least once or twice for the Calgary Flames to get a handle on where he's at game speed wise. But for now, I think, and you heard a lot of this with Matthew, and you can hear it again if you go back and listen to hour two on the Sportsnet Today podcast, just an excitement level being here. He understands that there's a step up from the NCAA levels to the NHL level. Size of your opponents, speed of your opponents. Luckily, he's coming in at a time where the Flames aren't overly busy this week. After tonight's game against the Kings, they'll have 2 days off before heading to Vancouver for a game on Friday. And then they're back in town for a Saturday matchup against the Anaheim Ducks. So he'll have sufficient time to be around the group and make an impression on the coaching staff, pick up those systems hopefully as quickly as he can. But as he's mentioned, as Daryl's mentioned, as Brad Treliving has mentioned, going back to his chat with Pat Steinberg on Monday's edition of Flames Talk, the hype train can quickly get out of control for guys like Matthew Coronato. And is it exciting? Should Flames fans be excited? Yeah, absolutely. But if it doesn't wind up with Matthew playing 19 minutes a night on Elias Lindholm's wing this year, that's okay. Even if it means that Matthew Coronato starts next season with the Calgary Wranglers, that's okay. The good news for the Calgary Flames, as far as I'm concerned right now, should be that he's had good progression from the USHL into his 2 years at Harvard at the NCAA level. And let's be honest, getting an NCAA top prospect to sign with your organization and commit to being part of your team for the next X amount of years is a win nowadays. It's especially a win when two of the most prominent American players maybe ever, especially in this franchise, comes to mind, chose different destinations, and there's different reasons for that. It's not as simple as the Adam Fox situation where he had one destination in mind to play for and was going to use the NCAA loophole to his advantage to get there. But I also don't think it's irrelevant to the conversation either that a top prospect who happens to be from the United States has committed to Calgary and is willing to commit the next couple of years to this team. What does that mean for the rest of this year? I really have no idea. I hope we get to see him. I think it would be great to, from an evaluation standpoint, see where he fits in. This is also a really tricky spot. This is not Vancouver or some of these other teams that have signed these college free agents where you can commit to them a handful of games or 10 games down the stretch here. Whether you like it or not, and there are plenty of people on both sides of it, the Flames are still within range of a playoff spot. They are not walking on the line of mathematically eliminated yet. It's 4 points away from Winnipeg with equal games played. And you have a head-to-head against Winnipeg remaining this season. You have to factor the Nashville Predators and their two games in hand as well, sure. They're also a team you have a head-to-head against. So as up and down as it's been, as win-loss as it's been, as frustrating loss and then bounce-back win as it's been for this team, they are still in this conversation. And to put Matthew Coronato in there for evaluation's sake at this time of the year is still very difficult. Again, do I think he's going to get in? Absolutely, I think he is. I think it would be hard for him to come to Calgary, have no AHL availability this year, and not wind up putting on the Flames jersey for real at least once. But do I think that that's as realistically happening Friday or Sunday when it's Vancouver or Anaheim? I really don't know. I think a lot of it depends on the result tonight and the results that follow on the out-of-town scoreboard the next couple of nights for the Calgary Flames. That being said, the opponent for the Calgary Flames, the LA Kings, they're red hot. They've been great since the All-Star break, have one of the best records in the NHL in the month of March, and they're coming off of that Flames big win against the Flames last week, 8-2 in LA, but head coach Todd McClellan, speaking to the media today, he's well aware that that result not likely to repeat itself in tonight's matchup against the Calgary Flames. Here's the LA Kings head coach holding court with the media ahead of their game against the Flames tonight.
I see Gabe out there, so what's the update on him?
Gabe's at home, upper body.
Okay. Shot to join the team for the trip?
Gabe's at home, upper body today. I don't know.
How does that impact what you do with your forward lines? And at this time of the year, is it good to be able to maybe experiment with different combinations now as opposed to potentially going into the postseason trying something for the first time then?
Well, there's a lot of players that we've had sitting around here that want to play. And now they get their opportunity. We've seen that over the last few days, either through suspension or injury. And it's a great opportunity for them. And that's cliche. Coaches say that all the time, but it is. And as one goes down at this time of the year, another one has to step in and fill the role. As far as experimenting, I don't think anybody really wants to experiment. We want to put the best lineup together possible and keep on playing. But there are circumstances that come up during the playoffs and to the end of the season where you have to react, and that's what we're doing right now.
Knowing that you weren't happy with the full 60 last time out, the start did seem to be there. It seemed to have been there for a while now. Any consistent threads you've noticed starting the game that you've liked?
Well, the leadership group in the locker room has done a really good job of making sure that the group is alert and ready to go. And I tip my hat to them. But the followers are also important. You can have great leadership. The followers aren't listening and not paying attention. It really doesn't go anywhere. So they've all been aware of what's at stake. And, you know, our team does, at least in my opinion, play better with a lead than it does coming from behind. And it's important that we have those good starts.
Maybe you just answered it, Coach, but just the idea of the last meeting and certainly the start that was mentioned. But what did you like about your last meeting between these two teams and that you want to kind of build upon tonight?
Yeah, the last game certainly went our way. We got some breaks, some bounces that went our way. We worked hard in that game. We were happy about that. But I don't think we can roll that up into one ball and expect it to happen all over again. They're a very good hockey club. They do a lot of things really, really well. And we're going to have to be in the top of our game. So for as much as we'll reference and look at some of the things that we did well in that game, I think we have to start from scratch and reestablish it all over.
Regarding special teams and power play, does it help that there's a deep playbook you can draw upon when needing to make adjustments if something gets a little stale?
Well, not necessarily playbook. Bodies, the ability to move players around, whether it's hands or a new body coming in. We have some depth there. We haven't had that depth in years, but we do have depth. And I think the greatest addition to our power play is that we have two units that compete against each other. It's as simple as that. And it used to be just one group of players get up and put their leg over the boards. Now it's whoever's going gets the goal, and it pushes one unit pushes the other. So I wouldn't call it playbook or anything like that. It's internal competition that makes us healthy right now in that area.
There you go. Kings head coach Todd McClellan doing the media rounds this morning at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. His team will go with Jonas Korpisalo in goal. As you heard at the beginning there, Gabe Vilardi not with the team right now. He will not play in tonight's matchup against the Flames. Kevin Fiala, who missed last game in that 8-2 win for the Kings last week, is healthy and back in the Kings lineup. So another offensive piece for the Kings to watch out for tonight if you are the Calgary Flames. Before we get out of here, wanted to mention this as well. Jays spring training finale went down this morning / this afternoon. Just a day off tomorrow before the real thing starts for the Toronto Blue Jays Thursday against the St. Louis Cardinals. Some highlights from this one is the Jays finished things off in spring training. Last chance out for some starters to get acclimated ahead of the season. And it was good news for the Jays. Top of the second, their shortstop looking like he's going to have a great start to the year offensively.
The 0-1 pitch to Bo. Drilled in the air out to right center field. Hit pretty well. Marsh gets to the wall. It's gone! Bo Bichette with his fourth of camp. A soaring drive to the berm in right center field. Doubles the score for Toronto. A two-run shot makes it 4-0 Blue Jays here in the second.
Bo Bichette has been a very bright spot for the Jays. As you heard Ben Wagner on the call there. His fourth home run of the spring gets the Jays out to a 4-0 lead. They would relinquish that lead heading into the bottom of the seventh. This game tied at 5. But another bright spot that a lot of people weren't expecting heading into spring training, Yusei Kikuchi would get them out of the jam. He pitched incredibly well this spring, earned a spot back on the rotation, and finished off his spring training in positive fashion as well.
The lefty wheels and deals. Swing and a miss! Yusei Kikuchi flashing brilliance again. 5 strikeouts from the Toronto left-hander against the Phillies today.
I'm telling you, Taylor, bearded Kikuchi, it's the way of the future. Avoid it, run from it, fear it. It all comes the same.
He grew that beard and became a whole new person.
Yeah, who cares about like pitch structure or arm movement or anything like that? Yeah. It's clearly just the beard.
The only thing that changed this offseason was that beard.
100%. But how seriously, how good would it be for this Jays team knowing that you're going to get limited innings, if any, from Hyunjin Ryu later on? If Yusei Kikuchi could actually come in and be the 5 for this team, I like them 1-4. It's a really solid rotation 1-4. But as we learned last year, when you're running thin numbers like that in your starting rotation, what if Jose Berríos doesn't bounce back like we've heard from? Then all of a sudden you're taxing the bullpen a lot more if you're this Jays team. If Kikuchi can come in and be that 5 for them like they hoped he would be, man, that would be a major positive for this group.
It would really bolster this lineup or this rotation and just make it kind of hard to play against.
They'd have a solid 5.
They have a solid 5.
And that's not always something the Jays have been able to see. As far as this game against the Phillies go, however, not the perfect ending for it. Take you to the final in this one as the Phillies pick it up with a walk-off win to end off the spring training calendar.
The pitch. Hall swings it. He loops it into left center field, down for a base hit. And the Phillies will walk off their Grapefruit League finale on an RBI base hit from Derek Hall. It's 6-5 Philadelphia. Game-winning RBI base hit in the bottom of the ninth inning. That is the way we close up camp. That bird is gassed up and ready for opening day. Next stop for the Blue Jays, the gateway to the West, St. Louis. Opening day on Thursday afternoon.
Yes, that's next up for the Toronto Blue Jays, Thursday afternoon in St. Louis, getting set to take on the Cardinals in a battle of the birds to start off the season. Some roster notes ahead of this one. Nathan Lukes, the 28-year-old rookie, has acquired the final spot on the bench. That was coming from John Schneider earlier this week. That means Otto Lopez and Vinny Capra, the other contenders for that last job for the Jays, will now start their season in AAA Buffalo after being optioned and reassigned. Zach Pop also making the Blue Jays as their final reliever in the bullpen. Luke's, like I said, a 28-year-old rookie, but a left-handed hitter. He's got speed, versatility to play all three outfield positions. He was a seventh-round pick of the Guardians in 2015, has not made his MLB debut yet, but was very strong with the Bisons last year. 285, 11 home runs, 25 doubles. And Taylor's looking at me very strangely right now. What's going on, Tay?
His name is Lucas. Not Luke's.
Are you sure?
Yep.
Why does it say Luke's on my page here?
Because that's how it's spelt.
No, it says Luke's.
Yes, but it's pronounced Lucas.
No, it's not.
It is.
There's no way.
There is a way.
There's no to make it a Lucas.
Yes, but it is pronounced Lucas.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I don't believe you.
Well, I hate to break it to you.
I don't.
Well, sorry to say.
No, I disagree with you.
You can't disagree without his name.
Looking at the word right now.
Yes, I understand. But it's not.
No, nope, I don't believe you. He's from Portland. Portland, if you will. How dare you? Now I have to look it up. Are you looking it up?
I am looking it up.
Because I even have the pronunciation guide on the team here, and it still says Luke's. Has it been pronounced Lucas?
This whole time.
Why does this say Luke's then?
Because that's how his last name is spelled.
I bring it up because it says it's spelled Luke's. Pronunciation guide says Luke's.
It is.
Now it's an old pronunciation guide. It says Cleveland one. He never played there, so.
Whatever. I also thought that too last season, and was very confused as to why they were calling him then. Lucas. But they did say that it is pronounced Lucas.
Well, that's frankly stupid. Because as I read it out loud, and then, again, I have the pronunciation guide for it. Anyways, that leaves the Jays with three lefties in the outfield. Springer, Varshow, Kiermaier, and Lukes. Or is it Lucas?
It is Lucas.
Whatever. Two utilities, Merrifield and Biggio. Biggio, a lefty, righty for Merrifield. I don't care what you say. I disagree with you. Blame the pronunciation guide. Your two catchers for the Jays, Danny Jansen, Alejandro Kirk. Infielders, Guerrero Jr., Brandon Belt, Santiago Espinal, Bo Bichette, and Matt Chapman. Your starting pitchers, starting, of course, with Alek Manoah, who gets the opening day start for the Jays on Thursday. You go Manoah, Gausman, Bassett, Barrios, and Kikuchi. Your bullpen looks like this. Romano, Garcia, Swanson, Meza, Bass, Thimber, Richards, and Pop. Again, the only worry that you have out of the bullpen, Taylor, you, again, only have one lefty.
Yeah.
I don't like that a lot.
I mean, they've always kind of been like, we need more lefty pitchers and batters, and then just never did anything about it.
Well, they did it with the batters. Like, they went out and got plenty of lefties now, and you can play them on a regular basis, but I don't know. Maybe it doesn't matter as much. I guess lefty-righty out of the pen is less prominent than it once was. I don't know. I worry about having one lefty in the bullpen right now. It's a deep bullpen. Simber, Richards. I think Swanson's going to be a really good addition. Jordan Mantle's been one of the best closers in baseball the last couple of years. But, man, it's just one of those things where didn't think it would be a big deal last year. They didn't have a left-handed bat in the lineup, and sure enough,
they had Biggio.
They kind of had Biggio. At times. It's just one of those things. It'd be nice to have at least one other guy.
You know
what?
Here's the thing. Is at least they don't have, like, Brad Hand or, you know.
Yes. Okay. Your point is fair. They're all legitimate MLBers in the pen. There isn't that guy that's...
I genuinely forget all the rest of the closers from last season that were so bad.
There's been a lot of bad ones, and I will grant you that for sure. But, again, it just... one's a bit strange.
I think we have to see how it actually is in the season.
Yeah, true. I guess it all
depends.
I
know that matchups are a big thing, but if you're just going to... I think the better idea is putting a pitcher that is good out there instead of just worrying about the matchups.
Before we let you go, before we get out of here, get Haley Salvi in for Hockey Central 960. Kevin Kiermaier says 100-win season for the Jays. Very attainable. Agree or disagree, Taylor?
Sorry, I was not paying attention.
Thank you. great to talk to you. Kevin Kiermaier says 100-win campaign, very attainable for the Jays. Agree or disagree?
Agree.
It's fair.
But it's also coming from Kevin Kiermaier, and how much do we like Kevin Kiermaier?
Well, we like him now. We hated him forever, but we like him now.
Are we not holding a grudge?
No.
Okay.
It's like me with the former Astros. I hated them all. All cheating, lying scumbags.
I mean, I'll
George Springer, I don't worry about it.
Well, George Springer
didn't do anything wrong.
He owned up to it, and he said that he did it, so I respect him.
Nope.
But however, Altuve, I don't like.
He's just shy, Taylor. It's not because he had a device on his body.
He didn't want
to
ruin his jersey.
When there was a fastball being thrown, he simply didn't want to show off his body. God.
Or get his jersey ripped.
Yeah.
His wife would be mad.
Totally. That's a very believable excuse, Jose. Yeah, someone mentioned Yusei Kikuchi. Another 5 Ks on the day. His ERA in the spring, Taylor, finishes below 1.
That's promising.
0.87.
That is,
I tell you,
that is promising.
Bearded Kikuchi is here to stay.
It's not about your... last season pitching, it's about
no.
the beards you grew
exactly,
all the way.
Yeah. Who cares about last year? You didn't have a beard last year, you say? All that matters is what's coming up next. And speaking of the Jays, we're going to be your home of the Jays all season long here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, including season opener on Thursday. We're going to make room for it here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We'll be back to break it all down tomorrow here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.